Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at Dunamos Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. I'm back again this week with my co-host, Catherine Pearson.
Hello there.
Hi there. So, Catherine, last week, you know, we finished up the show with how to really connect with Jesus on any sort of decision-making, and I just thought that was just so powerful, you know, that we rolled into that. And so today, that is also an element, actually, of our topic today, that we have to know how to really pursue what the Lord would have us do for our marriages, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so today, we're going to do one of my favorite topics.
All right.
Which is helping couples with what does communication really mean?
Mm.
You know, we hear it all the time. The secret to a healthy marriage is communicate, communicate, communicate.
I know. It feels like a buzzword almost, you know, among counselors and even maybe in a church, you know.
But what does that mean?
Right. And then there's that.
Because it's like there's different levels of communication. And so a lot of times, when I talk to couples who've been to marriage counseling, not at Dunamos Center Ministries, they were taught to just, you know, talk about how they feel about this or that, but not really feel, if that makes sense. I don't know how to explain it. It's more like,
how do you feel on a surface level?
Yeah, or make sure you're talking once a day about what the kids need, or make sure you're communicating on schedules, or make sure, and really at the bottom of it, it sounds to me like they were just taught how to play nice in the sandbox.
Yeah.
There's... Don't kick sand in the other person's face.
But yes, let's play nice. Let's share. Let's
Yeah, exactly.
Don't
let's
throw
tell
sand.
The other one how you want to build the sandcastle, and then you share your ideas, and then you decide together what to do. But what happens when emotion over things get in the middle of that topic?
I don't like the sandcastle there.
I didn't want that tower.
And then we get meltdowns.
And we see the kids crying. She wouldn't let me put a tower up. He wanted to put my Barbie in it. And I didn't want her up there. They start fighting over things, but they're not really able to understand, well, how do I get after why that was such a hot topic?
Right. And unfortunately, actually, if we keep at an emotional level of a child all the while that we're growing up and into our marriage, we might end up with a similar emotional issue over which way the toilet paper roll comes off the roll.
Exactly. And, you know, couples say to me all the time, every time we have a disagreement, I feel like I'm talking to a four-year-old.
Mm.
And, you know, I tell them, guess what? You're talking to a four-year-old. So we have to go back and figure out how to care about a four-year-old and help a four-year-old.
Yeah.
But let's start, Catherine, by talking about the different levels of communication. And there's five basic levels of communication. The first one consists of sharing facts and information. So what might that look like or sound like?
Right. That's where we are talking about the schedule. And please make sure the kids wear their coats to school. Please make sure the kids are picked up from school on time.
Don't forget, I have a woman's Bible study on Thursday. You need to be home at 5:30.
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Schedule, sharing, info.
That sort of thing. And that's, you know, we all have to communicate on that level.
Oh, yeah.
In everything we do. There's, you know, here at the center we have to talk about, by the way, you need to be here to tape a radio show today, Catherine. You know, I mean, that's just information.
It is.
And then things flow smoothly because we all have the same information.
Exactly.
Okay. But from there, we might go to communication that centers on sharing the ideas, activities, and opinions of others. So with the radio show...
Mm-hmm.
We kind of move to that level before we go on air, don't we?
What are the opinions and ideas of others?
Right. Like we share, okay, here's this article, or, you know, I think we should talk about this. And you're like, oh, and I really like this point. Or, you know, so we go from be there at this time to record a show. And then we go to what's your idea for a show? How do you want to approach it? Or that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So that second level is not... I don't think that means our opinions, right? It means the opinions of other people.
Right. And
this person thinks this.
Right. And that's, okay. And that might even be when we are bringing in articles.
Yeah.
Or you're listening to, hey, you know, one of the producers might say, I think you guys need to do a topic on XYZ. Mm-hmm. And we jot it down. But we're not really talking yet about what we think of the topic.
My opinion. Your opinion.
Mm-hmm. And then what we want to bring to the air. That's the third level.
Okay.
So the third level is when we take all that information and you and I start to go, well, what do you think should go on there? I think we should talk about this, or I think we should focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
And now then you share, I like this idea, and I want to make sure we make that point.
Right.
And so now we've gone through the first three levels of communication.
Yeah. Well, as an example, last week we were talking about vaccines, and we were very clear about our opinion.
Not all of them hit the air last week, by the way, but... because really bottom lining it is we're trying to build stronger relationships with Christ each other. So,
yeah.
You know, we always cycle back to that.
Mm-hmm.
But our fourth level, this is where we start to really share our personal preferences. This is beliefs, concerns, experiences. So, you know, we've scheduled a time to meet. We've brought in the articles and the ideas from the other people here at the center. You and I have discussed what we think is relevant and important and why.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start to say, well, let me share why I think we should need to focus on this first. Or my belief, you know, like, again, because it's so fresh, the show that was from last week, you stated very clearly in preparation that your belief was, we need to get down to how do you connect with Jesus. This is really ultimately about what would God have us do.
Yeah.
That's a belief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we share the same belief, so there's no arguments over that belief. And concerns and experiences.
Right. And you also, on that fourth level of communication, were sharing your experiences with vaccinating your own kids. You know,
right.
This is my experience. This is my...
Right. And so even on the air, we might hit a fourth level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we do quite frequently, believe it or not, hit that fourth level of what we believe and why we believe it.
Yeah.
And I think we try to be very fair when it's like, this is just an opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
And an opinion is a little more surface than a rooted belief.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Now, the fifth level involves the deepest sharing of our soul.
Ooh, that got heavy quick.
Got heavy very quick. I'll be honest, I don't share that on the air.
Right.
It's very, very rare that I share it publicly. And the person we should be most likely and able to share it with is our spouse.
Absolutely.
But what's the reality?
That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. And so the majority of the time, people want it and don't know how to get it.
That's very true.
Right.
Yeah.
So the marriage reaches the belief, concerns, experiences level.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can have a decent relationship because, you know, you should be friends in a marriage and you can get along great. And you can agree on a lot of things because you have the same belief system.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes I even get couples in my office, Catherine, who are doing fine. But they know something's missing.
Oh, yeah.
So there's this thing. They just tell me there's this thing that we can't quite get at.
And probably what they're trying to say is we can't, without knowing the language, we can't get to this fifth level of communication where we really share our soul with each other.
Right. And so then we argue over which way the toilet paper should roll. Because it starts to have meanings to it based on, am I feeling respected? Do you value my opinions? Do I feel cared for?
Do you care what my opinion is?
Right.
Or how I feel?
And it's really funny because then the interpretations start to go into judgments and they go into other things. So, for example, if your husband never puts his clothes in the laundry, I guess I'm going to go to fourth level here and share an experience.
Okay.
I've been married a lot of years.
Yes.
My husband can't get his socks and underwear in the laundry hamper. Well, he does now. I got to be fair. But he used to throw them on the floor right in front of the laundry hamper.
I'm sorry.
It's hysterical.
It's funny on the outside.
I'm sure
it bothers you.
It doesn't now. But when I was a young wife, I was like, why does he do that? Doesn't he know how much work that is for me? He's so disrespectful. He's doing it on purpose just to annoy me. Okay, no, actually he wasn't doing it on purpose. It was just sort of a lame afterthought habit. And it had to do with, you know, not wanting to lift the lid of the laundry hamper. We had an oak hamper. It was very heavy. Things like that. And I made all kinds of meanings about our relationship out of the socks and underwear lay on the floor and not in the laundry hamper.
Did he make any meaning out of that?
No. If I said, why do you throw them there? He was always like, I really don't know. And I didn't know how to say, because this is fifth level.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to say, okay, I know it's not a big deal to you and it doesn't really mean anything to you, but for some reason it causes me to feel disrespected. Mm. And I would really feel respected and cared for if you would pay attention. He does now. I didn't even actually have that conversation. But just when you start to notice your impact after you live together for a long time and you learn how to communicate on the fifth level across the board, things start to change.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
Because you understand that, no, they're not really trying to say I'm doing that. This just impacts the other person this way. And if I want to care, then I'm going to care about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So communication also, a lot of times with counselors, they talk about sex differences. Okay. There's a reason there's stereotypes.
There is.
To be fair.
Yeah. Men are wired differently than females.
Yeah. And we just need to accept it. But a lot of times, I feel as if, and maybe this is just me, but I feel as if we as women are always told that we're supposed to understand that men just communicate that way.
Okay.
That they just communicate on the fix-it level, don't take it personally, they don't know how to really get in and, you know, talk to a heart. So, you know, just understand that they're fixers. And then men are told, stop trying to fix everything.
Right.
Now, neither one is given an understanding of how do I move towards the other person. They're just told to either understand or stop it.
Right. So it sounds like you were given a starting point, and the starting point might be, well, men are wired this way and women get used to it.
Yes. Yes.
But what we really want to encourage is moving beyond that starting point towards, let's try and do something differently and more meaningful. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes. And that is a good way to start. And, you know, one of the things that we looked at in some of the material was just even as children, we can see differences in the way females and males communicate.
Right.
And we need to take that into account. But I need to allow for how do I approach my husband? Because one thing we know is most men, if you go, honey, we need to talk, they start to go, oh, no, what is wrong?
Thinking, feeling.
What did I do
stomach?
Wrong? What is she going to tell me I'm doing wrong now? You know, kind of thing. So they start avoiding that conversation.
Yeah.
And really, it might even just be, we need to pass information.
We need to pass information. I would just really like to share about my day without you. You don't even have to say anything, but I'd
right.
like to share about my day.
Right. So a lot of counseling books and marriage books and counselors want to give you techniques for understanding and with the idea that we want to go to this fifth level, but unfortunately I see a lot of them fall short of hitting the fifth level.
Okay.
You know, you have pointed out one of the things in here in the materials that we were talking about. And I want to talk about that a little bit. You want to share that?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. There was a quote here attributed to Henry Cloud and John Townsend, and they said, listening has occurred only when the other person understands that you understand. And I
right.
thought that was really insightful to say, okay, they may have, you know, audibly heard my words, but
right.
do they understand my words?
Right.
Because it's, I don't know if this is all women or just me, but I feel that way sometimes. Do you understand
right.
where I'm coming from? Because for some reason that's important to me.
Okay, so we go to a model called reflective listening to try to accomplish that I understand what you just said. So
mm-hmm.
we do this reflective listening. And it might sound something like, so what I heard you say was, and I do use this in the counseling, and it does help for people to say, yes, I feel understood. All that's fine and dandy, but if I'm just repeating back the exact words you just said, I'm probably not getting it, to be honest.
Yeah. There is a difference between recitation
right.
and saying it in a
right.
way that displays understanding.
Right. So, for example, we can go back to the toilet paper rolls.
Okay.
And they might be in my office going, it really annoys me when she puts the toilet paper roll on opposite of how I like the toilet paper roll on. And then she wants to start fighting. Well, it's much more efficient if I put it on the other way. So the wife might reflect, what I heard you say is, it annoys you when I put the toilet paper roll on the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Sure. Okay, so when I say, can I tell you what I just heard? They always go, yes. What I just heard was he said he feels completely disrespected, disregarded, and not cared for because you guys have not come to an agreement and you've not respected his opinion on how the toilet paper roll should go on. And then the guy goes, that's it exactly. Okay, you know what I mean? So it's a different way of reflective listening. But there's no vocabulary for most couples on how to do that.
True.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break, and you're going to share with how we can connect, and then we'll come back and talk about that.
Yes. We've been talking about communication, so let's
communicate.
Communicate with us. Even if it's a level one surface communication, we welcome you to
absolutely
kick that off. So on Facebook, search Dunamas Center Ministries, and Dunamas is spelled Dunamas. Excuse me. On Twitter, go to @yourdunamoslife. And another way to reach out to us is simply by email, which is dunamoslife@dunamoscenter.com. And then, of course, there is the good old telephone, which is 719-231-7183.
Yes, and Catherine, I'd like to encourage people to get our workbook on the Book of Proverbs, mm-hmm. Choices and Consequences, which just kind of goes step by step through the Book of Proverbs, and you do this, you're going to get this, kind of good or bad consequences.
Right.
And it helps to really understand that God has some very clear ideas of how to live a good life. And that workbook is available on our website at thedunamoscenter.com.
Yes.
Yeah, so please go there. Okay, so let's go back to this communication issue, and how do I get down to, people say to me all the time, how did you know he or she was actually feeling that way?
Yeah.
Well, part of it is I understand the vocabulary. Now, I didn't 15 years ago.
Right.
Most people come in, they don't even know how to talk. So we get workbooks on just use their love language, or the Bible says men need to be respected and women need to be loved. True. I'm not going to argue that that's what it says.
Right.
But what I end up with is most men also want to be loved, and most women also want to be respected. And so then we get guidelines for how to sit down and have these, you know, soul talks.
Mm-hmm.
And the guidelines will say, you know, ask your spouse if it's a convenient time to talk to them. Well, we just said most of them are going to go, why? What do you want? Okay, because it starts to make them nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, sometimes people say really good things like focus exclusively on them and reach out and touch their hand. All that is true and connective. But if I said to you, I'm going to give you the secret to connecting to your husband's heart. Just go home and connect to his heart. Just go focus to care and connect to his heart. So now what are you going to do?
I don't know.
So what will happen?
I don't know what you mean.
What usually would happen? Nothing. Because if I don't
I have a big blank look on my face because I don't know.
Now here's the thing. I can sit down and I can use my language for my heart in an attempt to connect to your heart. Because that's all I know, right?
Right. Yeah.
But if I haven't thought about how do I know the language for your heart, then when you said, you know, I want to know that you understood mm-hmm. in that quote, that's not going to mean anything to you if I bring you all of my heart pain words.
Right. It's true. There's a difference between how my heart works and how your heart works.
Exactly.
And so we need to first of all, understand that,
right.
That we're different. We have different
right.
things that make us feel good, different things that hurt our heart.
Right.
And so, but with our spouse, how do we know what those are?
Right.
Unless we ask and find out, right?
Right. And then you say, so tell me what you feel about some of that. And they go, I don't know. Well, how did your heart feel? I don't know.
Mm.
Then you get surface words. It made me angry. I was frustrated. I was sad. I was hurt.
Right.
Okay, well, that's covering a whole lot of things.
Like you said, on a surface level.
On a surface, it's still, you know, maybe a level 4, maybe 3 even.
Mm-hmm.
Because experiences dictate what our heart needs.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have to talk about experiences. But I'm already terrified of being judged by my experiences as a child. I mean, what would happen if I were to just, you said, hey, tell me about your life. And I started telling you about sexual abuse and an alcoholic father. Yeah, your eyes are getting really big. And I go into these really deep things and you don't even have a clue what any of that would even mean.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
and people say that all the time. I feel judged, or people walk away.
Now, maybe a caring or connecting thing would be, wow, how did that affect your heart?
Right, and people go, what do you mean? So it's interesting because they're like, how am I supposed to learn this? Yes, books can describe it, but I don't think until somebody actually sits with you and gets you used to it and helps you to get comfortable with the process that there's very many people that can just read a book and do it.
Absolutely.
Maybe less than 10%.
Right. And not to mention, this is a process that's important for both.
Absolutely.
The husband and the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And how many husbands and wives would both choose to pick up a book and read about that?
Yeah.
I don't know very many.
No, I don't either. And so to sit with somebody to help you to get used to doing something completely differently than you've ever done, without allowing you to run away, and coaching you through it. And, you know, I always tell men, if they played sports, what did the coach do? He said, don't do that, you're going to hurt yourself. Now let me show you the right way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So when they start to do that in the marriage and in this conversation, I can sit down, I can hold a pillow and be the person who's supposed to talk, and I can talk, but am I just doing it in the same old way that hasn't worked in the past, or do I understand how to do it in a new way? And then if I'm going to pass the pillow to you, are you going to know how to do the same thing for me?
And by the way, by pillow, Dr. Pauline is referencing a method or example that was given in a book that she read about, here's who has the floor to speak. You know, whoever can speak is holding the pillow.
Yeah.
And then if I'm done speaking, then I give the pillow to you and you talk.
Right.
Which is it feels a little silly to me, too.
And this method's been around since, you know, the 1980s.
Okay.
I've been hearing about it since I was first in undergraduate school.
Okay.
And it's not improved our communication any.
Because
here's the problem. Can I have the pillow now? No, I'm not done talking. Well, when do I get to talk?
Oh.
When I give you the pillow. You know, so how do we...
Yeah. It just feels silly,
right.
A little bit.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really the first thing I ask couples to do is find a specific time on a regular basis. Not everybody can do it every day, but at least on a regular routine throughout the week, where you are going to sit down with each other. And the point of that is to practice and learn how to get into that fifth level, to get into that connecting to care level. Okay, great. Couples say to me at the beginning of their 5-day intensive, what are we supposed to do with that time? I said, just have a cup of coffee till I teach you what you can do with it. You know, have a cup of coffee. Go ahead and do level 1, 2, and 3. But just get in the habit of, this is our time to sit with each other, to talk to each other.
And it helps, hopefully, both parties not to feel threatened by the phrase, we need to talk.
Exactly. Because it also removes it from interfering in other times. Because if I'm upset, let's say somebody does something that really does hit my heart damage, and I need or want my husband to care about that, I don't necessarily have to go home and go, you have to sit down and care about me right this second. And he's going, but I've got my saw going. I mean, so it's
where
like,
did this come from?
Yeah. But I can say, okay, you know, at XYZ time, we are going to sit down and talk to each other, and I'm going to have his full attention, and that will be a time I can ask him to care about these things. And I have to build vocabulary. So that's one of the things I have to do, is give people a sheet with just words on it. you know, underneath that hurt, frustration, anger is disrespect, disregard, not cared for, not loved, opinions not valued, scared, unworthy, unnecessary. Now, would you think of those words if they weren't given to you?
No, exactly. Sometimes we're so used to a certain set of words. I don't know what, maybe half dozen to a dozen words.
Maybe.
But to be able to expand that vocabulary to literally a whole sheet, what is it, 4 or 5 columns?
Right.
Full of words.
Right.
Really, like you said, expands your vocabulary and allows you to really pinpoint exactly, I'm feeling this.
Right. And so then the other model they want you to go to is the I statements, you know, like don't blame, don't use you statements.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in a lot of pain, I don't know why what you just did caused me to feel hurt, but it did. Now, usually it's because you bumped up against a pain button that was created as a child.
Yeah.
So once I understand what those are about, now I can say, well, you just did this, and I feel this way. And you don't take it as a blame. You realize, oh, I'm hitting a pain they already had. I did not create this pain.
Right. So I don't have to feel defensive.
Right.
I just need to care for what's going on with the other person.
And help go down into, well, where did that come from? When did you first feel that way? How did that, you know, who did that to you? Because it's not what I'm doing.
Right.
Yeah.
This and actually isn't about the toilet paper roll. There's something else going on.
There's something else going on. And so now we're getting into a fifth level where you're making it safe for that person to share without judgment. I'm making it safe for you to share. You're making it safe for me to share. So you can take all of these models and methods that you see in the marriage books, but until you actually feel comfortable being vulnerable, it's not really going to go there.
Yeah.
And how do you get comfortable being vulnerable? If somebody doesn't help you with how to get comfortable being vulnerable and sounding really silly, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
The first, I actually coach people. Catherine, look at your husband. I'm going to tell you exactly what to say the first time.
Yes.
And they're like, laugh, they giggle, it seems silly. And I just wait it out because I did the same thing the first time. I know how silly it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you don't really want me to say that. Yes, I really want you to say that. You know, because we have to get used to speaking in a different way if we're going to get down into fifth level of conversation.
True. And so many people are just craving that connection on that deep fifth, you know, that heart-soul connection.
Right.
And they don't know how to do it.
And, you know, I want to kind of wind up by talking about this whole marriage thing was God's idea.
Yeah.
So if we just go, oh, well, no person can ever care for you that way. Just let Jesus be your husband. We've kind of just undone the whole thing as to why he made marriage in the first place.
Yeah.
Because he wants us to do this for each other.
Yeah. Right. And it's tricky, but there's so much benefit to it. Really.
Right.
I mean, like my husband and I, we found come into the counseling with a whole huge set of problems that we thought.
Yeah. Till I got a hold of it.
You know, it's true. On some level, we had a whole bunch, but we just didn't know it. And but we really benefited immensely from the tools, you know, to be able to really care for each other and realize when there was a snap comment or judgment, it was probably, like you said, hitting a pain button that we just need to care for.
Right. So I want to encourage people. If you want to do this, you probably just don't know how because nobody's taught you.
Yeah.
And that's really all we're talking about when we say, you know, do a marriage intensive, you know, at Dunamis Center Ministries, is somebody to sit with you and teach you how to go to this fifth level and give you the tools to do it. And then you go home and you do it for yourself. You have to decide at that point whether you're going to do it or not, and nobody can decide that for you.
Absolutely.
So before we close, I just really quick want to remind our listeners that we are donation supported and that everything that we do here, we want to be able to offer to anybody regardless of ability to pay. So your donations can really help us to do that. And you can donate on our website at dunamoscenter.com.
Yes.
Or you can mail a check to 2143 North Academy Boulevard, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80909.
Excellent.
And I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And thank you so much for listening.